Living Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
This afternoon, we're looking at God's offer. God's offer for spiritual fervency. God's offer for a sustainable spiritual fervency. Is there any offer? Is there any provision for us to remain on fire and never to be burnt out and never to die out? Is there an offer? Is there a divine provision? And that's what I want to spend the rest of this few minutes in my hand to deal with. I have a great burden in my heart that if I'm able to pass what I have personally regarded as the treasure and the secret of an unfading anointing, the secret of a continuous, sustainable experience of the power of God. Every time we pray for revival, the impression we have that is that revival is an occasional thing that comes, it starts, and it finishes. And so every time we are looking forward to another meeting, we are looking forward to another program, we are looking forward to another crusade, we are looking forward to another time when we are going to have another meeting, another program. But I found that in God's determinate counsel, He longs to set up a fire that will never quench. I found that when you study the Word of God in the Old Testament, one of the things that was always surprising to me as I look at the tabernacle setup, as I look at all the offerings, all the altar, one thing that God continuously repeated is that the fire must never go out. God will say, and the fire must never go out. The priests in the temple, they were given an instruction that the light, the candle, must never be quenched. So which means there was a constant supply of oil that kept the fire burning. And I realize that it is not God's interest to start something in your life and to stop it. It is not God's desire to revive you only for you to get cold again. This is what I discover for myself, that it is not God's will for me to be hot and to become cold and to be hot again and to become cold. God is looking for a continuum. Did you hear what I said? God is looking for a continuum. Many of you have had experiences that are discrete. You have discrete experiences. And what do I mean by discrete experiences? Experiences that are you know, disjointed. You can kinda say, I remember between 2009 and 2010 January, I was on fire until something happened and everything went down and down and down and down until God again sent a meeting, a crusade. Brother Billy preached, and when he preached, in fact, my heart was burning. I went up, then I was revived, then I started again until I went for my NYC. Segmented Christian experiences. Discrete, countable experiences. But God is not looking for discrete, segmented excitements. God is looking for a continuum. An unbreakable, an unbroken continuum. A flow that never ends. Brothers and sisters, I'm sharing that with you this afternoon. I wish we had not wasted so long a time, because I felt that you are young people and I'm longing to prepare you for a life of an enduring anointing. I am longing that by God's grace, you will step into an experience that will never finish. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm longing that you will step into an experience that never runs dry. But be that as it may, we are going to trust God that we will crack a matter this moment and ask you to explore it. So I'm going to end this meeting by leaving you with an assignment. Whatever becomes of you after this revival crusade will depend on how you respond unto what heaven is going to say to you this morning. Some of you may think that I'm excited coming back again and repeating the same story. No. My cry is that something that God did for me that have set some of us on a path of continuous, unending progress. And when I say that to you, I'm not struggling about that. It's a reality. It's a treasure that I wish it is possible to deposit into your hand very simply. But I want you to know that in God's desire, if you start a fire, He doesn't want it to quench again. Tell somebody that what God is beginning in your life now, of the increase of His government in your heart, there shall be no end. Tell somebody. You know, let me tell you something that bothers me. And maybe sometimes people don't understand. I met somebody, I said, how long do you hope to be a Christian? How long? I said, if you hope to go back at any time, go back now. Do you know why? There is no profit for attempted Christianity. Oh, Brother Billy has gone in walk with God. He preached, he went here. But just before he finished, he stopped. Do you know what the Bible says? If a man had been righteous all his life, and he turns into wickedness, what did the Bible say about all his righteousness? All his, you know, it used to pain me. Those are the kind of things that pains me, that makes me to be very, very deliberate that what God has started in my life, it will not stop. The reason is because there is no accumulated credit in Christian work. Your evaluation, listen to me, is not a cumulative evaluation. Your evaluation in Christian walk with God is usually the final assessment. The point at which He meets you at the end determines your final point. You are not understanding this kind of little thing I'm saying. Eh? If it is an accumulative credit, and they say, well, you know, Brother Bile has been working with God since 40 years, and he has done this, we have accumulated credit for him. The fact that now he didn't end in the right position, he was located among the wicked at the end of his life, does not mean he was wicked all along. Let's accumulate all his credit. It will balance out. It doesn't work like that. That's what makes Christian work more critical than you think. Sometimes I see preachers, they are depending on the accumulated historical credit. They say, God should know that I'm the one who started this fellowship. God should have recognized that I'm the one who gathered this thing together when there was nobody there. And the fact that I'm now a fornicator does not mean that you should not remember that I started this thing. Sorry. You don't understand Christian living. Christian living is not based on accumulated or cumulative credits. But you know it used to pay me. It pains me that somebody had been wicked all his life. And suddenly, just for a short while before he will die, he repented. What does the Bible say about all his wickedness? He has been forgotten. And he will be judged as if he had been righteous all his life. I said, Lord, it's unfair. It's unfair. It's unfair. You know, sometimes I feel like I say, God, no. You know, there are some guys that have been wicked. They have done terrible things. In your heart, you wish that, oh God, even for once, let this one, let him suffer the repercussion of all the terrible things he does, and suddenly he repents. And when he has repented genuinely, all the wrong things he has done for years, all the girls he impregnated, all the abortion he has committed, finished. And he's standing in God's righteousness. He may even be given an anointing to preach the gospel. And you say, ah! Oh God. And then look at one that had been on for years. Only towards the end, the first abortion he will commit finished his life. And then they say, oh brother, why didn't you continue? He say, well, you know, I have been standing for long, but because no young man came to me, I said, okay, let me even try it. Oh, sorry. Go to where you belong. Let me tell you again. If you hope to go back, when do you go back? Now. I'm not begging you to follow Jesus. Am I being harsh this morning? If you don't intend to end well, what do I advise you to do? Go back now. If you hope that one time all this Christian life that you are waiting for God, if you hope that you will finally marry an unbeliever, when should you start? Go back now, because it pays you not a dime that you kept yourself for 10 years, for 15 years, only for you to waste it in 5 minutes with a useless nonentity. It doesn't pay. So the decision you are going to take with me is that, having laid my hands on the plow, no turning back, no turning back. If no one joins me, still I will follow. If no one joins me, oh, Yes, thank you. I will follow if no one joins me. Still I will follow. No turning back. Just leave it there. No turning back. How many of you hope to finish well? Let me see your hand up. You are going to enter into a vow with God and say, Father, I must finish well. Having put my hand on the plow, no turning back. Having started this race, I will finish well. You know, some of us we suffered to become Christians. How can I waste it? And they say, poor him. We thought he's going far. We didn't know he was still going to go back. And unbelievers will be looking at me and say, brother, we thought you are going far. We didn't know you would join our club. God forbid. I have told God that if it remains tomorrow for me to waste all the years I have been following Jesus, I better end it today. I must die today. I'm not going to live to see the other side of my Christian life. I'm never going to become an history in my lifetime. I have decided and I'm going to end well. And God has agreed with me. Say, Bragbile, you will end well. I'm going to end well. I don't plan to live long. I only want to end well. Are you getting me? I'm not saying, God, give me many years. I don't need many years. I only need to live and live and end when I should end and end well. I have no benefit living on earth. Are you hearing me? Let me inform you. The more I grow, the smaller my stomach seems to be growing. You understand? In time past, I could eat a big pounded yam with a lot of yam toho. But now, no more. When you give me something like this, it's enough. So even if it is for the whole world that I wanted to collect, what will I do with it? Nothing will come between me and the Savior. I'm going to end well. I don't know what you are saying about yourself, but that's what I'm saying. But I want to share with you a secret that God had opened my understanding to see for years, that I'm holding, I'm pressing on, I'm longing for it. And I wish that since I have no silver and I don't have gold, if I have money, I will have distributed to you and said, take this. But there was something I am having that I must leave with you. And it comes very simply in the Word of God as we read it together. And the Holy Spirit will give you illumination. Whatever way I put it, even if it is not too clear, Holy Spirit will help you. God will give you an hunger for that which makes your fire unquenchable in the name of Jesus Christ. It was when I started wanting to walk with God and I was asking him to give me 7 keys unto supernatural. 7 keys unto power. 7 keys. I'm asking for 7. I don't know where I got that understanding of 7 keys. Maybe because I've been looking at people's books. They say 7 keys to breakthrough. 7 keys to supernatural abundance. 7 keys. It's always 7 keys. I don't know why. So when I knelt down, I said, Lord, give me 7 keys to breakthrough. I was surprised that he said, there's nothing like that. Nothing like that. Just one thing, that if you get, you will be all right. Just one. Jesus Christ came and met Martha and Mary. Do you remember? Martha was fusing up and down here and there. She came and said, Master, don't you care that this girl left me alone? And Jesus looked at her and said, Martha, 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 how many times have I called you? He said, look, do quick, you know, the thing is on fire and it will burn. He said, Martha, you are kumbad. You are distracted about many things, but only one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good portion. Nobody will take it away from her. One thing. I say, God, you mean it's only one thing I need for me to succeed in the ministry? He said, only one thing. You mean only one thing I need so that my life will continue to be on fire? Only one thing. Ha! You mean there's only one thing I need for me to have a ministry that will be affecting people all over the world? He said, just one thing. I don't know whether Brother Joel Adaji is here today. Is Joel Adaji in the meeting? All right. I was in his house in Ampa some years ago. I think 1983. sorry. I didn't intend to tell you that. I'm just telling my own story. Sorry. You will also have your story. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I was preparing to do a Bible study. There's a Bible study that we used to do in his sitting room, and several people are coming, and I'm going to take the meeting for a few days. And I'm lying down in the room, and I was praying, and the Lord said, only one thing is needful. Only one thing is needful for you to fulfill all the vision I give you. Only one thing is needful for you to arrive at my destiny for your life. Only one thing. Ah! That afternoon, I almost could not go and speak to the people again. Because now something has jammed me now. I stood up, I was walking up and down in the room. I said, God, what do you mean? Only one thing? Me that I thought I would do many things. In order to succeed, God said, just one thing is needful. And I've noted that since February 14, 1983, in that brother's room, that only one thing I will pursue. Then as I was looking, I said, you mean one thing? I will be monotonous. How can I be only doing one thing? I will be monotonous. People would think I don't know anything else to do. Why should I just be doing one thing when there are many, many things my friends and colleagues are doing? He said, just one thing is needful. Ah! I wasn't convinced. I said, God, no. Don't confuse me. There must be several things that men of God do that make them great. God said, just one thing. Ah! Brother, I want to tell you. Today is February 14, 2010, Abi. That's exactly 27 years ago. I have not pursued another thing. If they say, this thing is happening. Oh, people are crowd. Oh, people are coming. People are blessed. Oh, this thing is taking place there. And they say, go and see that man of God. Just one thing. Not two. Not three. Not four. I met people that say, yes, there are some special breakthrough prayers. I don't know how to pray it. I don't know how to pray it. Some people say, yes, there are some certain things that when you do, you will just have, you know, and they are doing like this, you know, like this. And I love the acrobatics. I love that. I say, yes, Lord, I wish I can also be allowed to do something. And I will be feeling I'm doing something. He said, only one thing is needful. As a young person, I wish you catch that one thing early. I wish it is not when many things have been spoiled in your life that you will come and discover it. I pray that this meeting, if I don't come back on this campus again, I pray that this one thing will turn your story around in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, I have no business to cajole you. I have no business to impress you and say, yes, if you come, there's a special way in going which we are going to anoint you. They say, what is that? They say, it's the fresh anointing that is just coming all the way from heaven just for you. I don't know anything like that. When I see people do that, I just laugh. Say, why do you want to confuse young people? Only one thing is needful. If God enables you to pick it, many years will pass. Your life will be a continuum. You will go anywhere. You can even go into the dungeon. You'll be okay. Friends may desert you, no problem. People may leave you, no problem. Money may come, money may go, no problem. When you catch that one thing, your journey is secured. You become a continuum, a never-ending, unbroken walk with God. Hallelujah. When I searched, you know, I'm not easily convinced. I said, no, I have to search this thing. So I began to read from the beginning of the scripture. I said, okay, you say only one thing. So let me see what Moses did. Suddenly I saw that Moses, in Exodus 33, he said, one thing have I desired of you. How will people know that I'm your people, I'm your man, and that you are with us if you don't go with me? Of all the prayer requests that I thought Moses was praying for, there's only one thing. What is that one thing? Go with me. I need your presence. My friend, then I said, maybe. Then I went and saw the life of David, that mighty king, a king ruling 12 tribes. Fighting Philistines, big giants, having to build the city of Jerusalem and different parts. I thought that somebody who is so busy with the work of God to that extent, building cities, fighting Philistines, and establishing the kingdom over 12 tribes. Do you know what he said? In Psalm 27. If you read Psalm 27, who will read Psalm 27 for me? I read verse 4. Where are you? With a loud voice. Yes, sir. He has not opened it yet, but you must read for me by all means. It's okay. I have asked one thing from the Lord. This I will seek. Yes, sir. Only one thing have I desired. Can you see a man with a great responsibility? Just one thing. If the VC, if you are going to succeed here, one thing is needful. Just one thing. It's not two, it's not three. Don't say, this university, there are so many things. That's not the issue. One thing is needful. David, that busy king, said, one thing have I desired. That is what I'm looking for. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord that I may inquire, that I may gaze at his beauty. He said, I know all other issues will be resolved, this one thing. When you come to Jeremiah, Jeremiah said, those who are wise, let them not glory in their wisdom. Those who are rich, not in their riches. Those who are powerful, not in their might. If anybody wants to glory, let him glory in one thing. That he knows me. Just one thing. When he came to Jesus, Jesus himself said, one thing. Ah. Then I came and looked at Brother Paul. Paul said, only one thing I desire, that I may know him. I said, so these men that turned their generation upside down, they were not men of many things. They were not men of many activities. They were not men of split personalities. They were not people that are doing this, doing this, doing this, connecting with this, talking to this man. You know, I was asking, I said, God, you mean this is only one thing I will need to do? And all the supply I need for life and ministry will come? He said, just one thing. I say, you mean this is the only one thing I need to do, and people will come from all over the world? You mean I don't need to be going up and down and doing publicity and showing my face? He said, you don't need to. It was looking like a risk. You mean if I do this one thing, you will not forget me? He said, never. After many years, I still don't have one other thing to do. It's still the one thing. And you know, I'm going very far. I have seen so much that will happen. But all of those things will happen, not by doing many things, but by pursuing what? One thing. Would you like to join me to pursue that one thing? At your youth, will you choose it? Pace you. But if you don't, choose any other thing you like. Travel all over the place, you will meet me. Hallelujah. Some people say, Evangelist, you are too slow. You are not doing this. I say, be doing all the things you know how to do. Just leave me alone. Just leave me alone, please. Let me focus on what I've seen. And if my life decided to be a waste, is it your business? Leave me. But I thank God. I praise the Lord this afternoon that we are ending a revival crusade again. And I have been searching, and God said, tell them the one thing that will keep them going. I am offering it to them. I'm not going to speak too long except to help you discover this and give room for it. So we will read our passage. Let's read Revelation chapter 3. And let's see God's offer for a sustainable spiritual fervency. One thing that God offers that will make your walk with God a continuum, not an intermittent, segmented experience. Verse 19. Verse 20. And all I want to deal with is just that verse 20. I don't think I can go anywhere beyond that. It says, behold, I stand at the door. That's verse 20. And knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will do what? I will come in. I will come in to him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. God's offer for a sustainable spiritual fervency. And what is that offer? Himself. What will make me to be on fire from now till eternity? It is not methods. It is not means. It is not money. It is Him. Are you hearing me? It is not means. It is not method. It is not materials. It is not money. It is Him. Now, when he had finished, he had rebuked, he said, I know your works. You are neither hot, you are neither cold. I wish you are either hot or you are either cold. After he did all of that. After he said, I counsel you, come and buy of me this, that, which we dealt with yesterday. But he didn't stop. He went to the greatest matter. Say, and behold, I stand at the door. And I am knocking. I offer myself to you. It's not about things. It's me. And if you open the door, I will do what? I will come in into you. I will sup with you. And you with me. I found that the only power that is sustainable for a continuous spiritual fervency is not an activity. It is a person. The person of the Lord Jesus. And you know that is the greatest offer. He said, and I will come in. And I will sup with him. And he with me. You know, that may look so simple. Because almost everywhere you go, almost every time people speak, they will always quote that Bible verse. To the extent that you always think that it is only a passage we quote for new converts or when we want to get people to come and do something. Mm-mm. I want you to know that that offer is the greatest offer that God could ever give any man. He offers himself. Hallelujah. Abraham, when God brought him to a point in his life, when Lot has departed from him, when the king of Sodom had come and carried away Lot and he had gone to fight and he had come back, and God looked at Abraham, he said, look, Abraham, fear not. I am your what? Your shield and your exceeding great reward. I'm your reward. I'm not giving you things. I'm not giving you money. I'm not giving you clothes. I'm not giving you land. I'm not giving you any of those things. I donate myself to you. It wasn't clear to Abraham. Abraham said, what will you give me? See that I'm going childless. This Eliezer of Damascus, he's the one that is having children. Me, I have nothing. You don't give me a child. Abraham didn't know that in Christ, all things are resident. And God is saying, I will come in to be with you. And some of you say, but you know, hey, I'm a Christian. I don't think you know yet. I don't think you know that the greatest treasure is for Christ to sup with you. Do you know the meaning of to sup? What's the meaning of to sup? To dine with you. You see, but the word sup, to me, is deeper than just that we are eating. It is to drink from the same cup, to put your mouth in his mouth and sup together. He was talking about a level of intimacy, a level of inseparable connection, communion that he wants you to have. Do you know the only hope I have that when you go from here, in 10 years, in 20 years, I will meet you, is not that you are brilliant. Many brilliant people have scattered their own lives. My hope is not that you are zealous. The Bible says even young men shall be weary. My hope that you will stand well is not that you are very, very energetic and that when we are dancing, you know, as I enjoy all these brothers when they are dancing and doing their legs, I say, I like this. I say, good, good, brother, good. But I don't trust you. Many people dance better than you are dancing now. They are on the other side. They were the one controlling our band in those days. They have been disbanded. What is the hope of your continuity? It is him. The hope that you will not fail, you will not run dry, is him. And he says, friend, I stand at the door and I knock. If you open, I will come in. I will sup with him and he with me. And I don't want to conclude this meeting by giving you things, because things will finish. I don't want you to go from this meeting picking methods. Methods will be outmoded. I don't want you to go from here with a sense of company. I want to inform you, all companies only gather in order to scatter. We are not going to be here together for 20 years. You see, these ones that we have prayed for now, in the next 3 months, they will be gone into different things. They will have to look for other friends, other, you know, companies. I cannot put my hope in contemporaries. You see, I had contemporaries that were moving together. And you know, sometimes, you know, when you are running with your contemporary, you look at them. I said, let's go on, let's press on. Go on, brother. Go on. And you know, I'm happy to move with my contemporary. Until one day the Lord said, stop looking at your contemporaries. They are your temporary company. Contemporaries cannot carry you far. They are a temporary company that you now have. And if you press on, they will no longer be in your company, because as you move on, you will meet another contemporary. They will always be temporary company. There's only one companion that you need permanent. It's me, the Lord. I want to pray that there will be some of you this morning who are going to say, Lord, I open my heart. I want you. I don't want money. I don't want fame. I don't want clothes. I don't want this. I don't want that. I want you. I want you to be my treasure. It's you I want. It's you I want to go with. It's you I want to travel with in life. It's you. When I have you, I know every other thing will fall into place. It's you I want. Lord, I want you. Lord, I don't want gimmicks. I don't want position. I don't want none. I want you. It might look like a narrow prayer. It might look like, what is this brother saying now? He should have just released us into something and prophesy to our lives. I wish I could do that. But if I tell you the truth, Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. All prophetic utterances find their fulfillment in him. You know, once I discover one thing that is needful, I don't worry again. If I go to a meeting and somebody stands up, says the Lord, I'm taking you far. You are going to be great. I may say amen. But I know that that's not important. But if I want to answer him, I say, I know. He say, but we're telling you something that is just coming from heaven. I say, mm-mm. You are just discovering it by yourself. But he who lives in me is the one who is the source of all prophecy and is the one carrying me. Brother, since I knew that that's the point, I know I will arrive at my destination, not because you are doing anything. You can't stop me. Because he who is in me, greater is he than he that is in the world. You can't stop me. You know I'm unstoppable. You know why I'm unstoppable? Because he who is propelling me, who is inside, you can't stop him. Can't stop him. I don't have money, I'm telling you the truth. I don't have all those things that people have and they are doing like this, but I have something. I have something. It removes inferiority from me since then. There's nobody I cannot look at their face. Nobody at all. Your position don't intimidate me at all. Because what I carry here. I carry him who is the source of all knowledge and wisdom. Because I know if I just turn here and say, sir, this man is talking. What does he mean? The man inside, the teacher within, he will make a way. Will you spend the rest of your life desiring this one? Eh? Will you take a decision from this meeting, this morning, and say, so that's the key? It's not throwing you up and down. It's not new fashion. It's not new thing. Mm-mm, there's nothing new. It's him. Are you hearing me? In 25 years time, if you catch him today, you will stand like I'm standing. And you will tell people, crowds, and say, that's what I caught that made my life great. The unfortunate thing is that things that are looking attractive and flashy to you, they are so costly, but they are empty. This kind of thing I'm sharing with you, I say, you know that now. You don't know it. If you know this, happy are you. To be envied are you. You can't have him and agitate for anything. You can't have him and have the fear of what? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God not just be for us, if he be in us, he said, if the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us, that same spirit does what? Quicken our mortal body. You see, look, I'm strong. Always looking young. They say, Rabbi, you have been working hard. Why are you not tired? They don't understand. They don't know that I don't do anything. They don't know that I carry in me that which generates power and keeps me going. I thought, let me not be a mystic to you. Let me not be making things look as if, they are somewhere we cannot get there. You can get there. You can get there today. If you want. Are you understanding? You can step into it today. If you want. Why am I telling you that? Let me tell you. If you step it in there today, it's for you. You don't replace me. You are not hearing me. If you catch this today, it's for you. It doesn't threaten my progress. It doesn't affect where I'm going. You will have only just collected him for your journey. Hallelujah. You will be growing well. You will grow very well. You will be anything God wants you to be. He doesn't replace where I'm going. That's why I can't be envious of you. Your progress is not a problem to me. Your enlargement doesn't threaten me because it's all right. Hallelujah. Do you want to catch something that will make you settled on your path? Yes. So he said, and that's where I need to tie it. I stand at the door. So can I tell you that he is standing where? At the door. Now that's the first word that I want to deal with. The door. What is the door? The door is the entry point into any place. The door is the entry point into any house. The door is the entry point into even any assignment in life. The door is the entry point into your destiny. And I hear Jesus say, look, I'm standing at the threshold, at the entry point. Let me inform you, sir. The entry point unto greatness is this point at which you either shut him out or you shut him in. Are we together? Young man, I want to inform you, you have not gone anywhere. You are just at the threshold of what you could become. We thank God that yes, a BSc from a Union Agric is a great achievement. But go and ask people that have gone through life. Just when you are celebrating, they say you are just beginning. You are just at the door. But what a wonderful thing that while at the door, he who can make your life great say, I'm standing at that door. Hallelujah. I'm standing at the door. And I'm saying, do you need me? Or you want to go without me? That's the question. So many people, when it came to the door, how many of you know that this is where you are now? You are at the door unto marriage. Do you know that? Do you know that those whose marriages have scattered, this was the door they didn't open? Do you know that those who have become confused and frustrated in their life, Jesus came to this door and said, I stand at the door and I open and knock. If you hear my voice and you open, I'll come in with you. I will sup with you, you will sup with me. As I overcame and I sat with my Father's throne, you will also sit in my throne with me. What a wonderful opportunity. The door. Are you 20 years? Are you 27 years? Are you 30 years? Or are you 60 in this meeting? Can I tell you? You are still at a door. The doorway unto eternity. The doorway into everything that heaven has for you. This is the door. But you know, Jesus is just wonderful to me. He is wonderful to me. Sometime at this kind of point, I will have just asked you to join me to sing. But there's no time. He's wonderful to me. He said, I stand at the door and I knock. Then in John chapter 10, he said, I am the door. Can you imagine? He said, I'm the door of the sheep myself. I'm the door. If the door is standing at your door, so, you see, when you give him a chance, then you are having a doorway unto eternal fulfillment. I'm asking two questions. Will you send him back at this door? No answer? Eh? You will open for him? Will you? Honestly? Sincerely? May God help you. Please open your Bibles to the book of Songs of Solomon, Canticles. Do you know where it is in your Bible? Yes. Just before the book of Isaiah. Songs of Solomon. Other people call it Songs of Songs. If you get to Songs of Solomon, would you like to go to chapter 5? We just take 2 or 3 points from Songs of Solomon 5, and then I will beg you to pray with me. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. I don't have time to be talking to you about the beauty of what he comes and is coming with. Jesus doesn't come into any man's life empty-handed. When you open to him, he's coming in with my milk. He's coming in with his honey. He's coming in with his myrrh, with his spice. Things that make a man's life beautiful. Things that will beautify your personality. I don't know anybody who was open to him and he became wretched. When you brought him in, when you ever opened the door to your life for him to come in, oh, he comes in not empty-handed. He comes in with all his blessings. He comes in with all his gifts. I don't know how to put it because this is not the time to do such exposition. He comes in as a sachet. When Jesus steps into a man's life, he comes in with every spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So when you open the door and Christ comes in, honestly speaking, you have received the embodiment, the sachet of all blessing. That's why your life can begin to unfold with beauty and with glory. Now, but go ahead. The response. I'm reading this because of your response. It's your response that I'm dealing with now. He said, I sleep, but my heart wakes. It is the voice of my beloved that knocks, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for For my head is filled with dew, and my lungs with the drops of the night. Open to me. I want you to see the difference. Did he say, come out? Did he say, come out? What did he say? Open to me. What does that mean? It is me that want to do what? Come in. I want to come in. Open to me. I'm not saying come out. I want to come in to be with you. This said, I sleep. But my heart was awake. Imagine this kind of terrible sleep. You are sleeping, but your heart is awake.